Okay, you want to begin, just going through the chat very quickly, get everyone up to speed, just the Gemara and Rashi from yesterday, and then we'll move on from there. So we're holding a Chav Zayin Amar Aleph. There are a couple of guys that were out yesterday for various reasons, so we'll get a chance to all be on the same proverbial page and the same physical page, and then we could all step forward from there. All right, volunteer to read, someone that wasn't here maybe? It's recording.
Are you on the right thing?
Oh yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's my personal recorder that has the problem. All right, someone want to step up? Go ahead, Daniel. Daniel Simon?
Sure.
I saw you were jumping at the bit there. Jumping at the bit. Oh, really? You got a knot to look on to?
No.
I don't want you to leave unhappy.
We'll do it. It's being recorded.
No.
Happy.
All right, good.
Why are you smiling so much?
Daniel Simon. Smiles.
Okay.
Vyamarava,
yeah.
He's going to stop a minute of recording.
Yeah. Lo gachlas ali bulumis, fucker.
Okay, what's that word?
Gachlas.
No.
Gachalta.
Gachelas. Gachelas.
He said he's going to call you.
Gachelas. What is it?
Cold.
Good.
Means fucker. Al bigdo nisra, chai, kind of shirt and burn,
yachai. Yeah. No, he's calling us. Okay, go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead. What's
she
that word?
So he's both quoting a Mishnah.
Okay. Tarvayu. What's that?
He didn't realize he's on.
Tarvayu is both. So both of them are taught. Both of these cases are taught elsewhere. As we have models for both
cases,
the Alibo case and the Al Bigdo case. Yeah, you have to realize those are two separate possible cases, two possible situations. The first situation is where a person puts the coal on another's person. It's libo lav dafka, by the way. I don't think that has to dafka mean his heart. It probably means any body part. Right? Any body part. Put it on your person.
That would kill him, or what are we saying? If you put it anywhere on him, it would count?
Let's say you leave it on your arm. Right, I put it on your arm and I leave it, and you leave it there, and then you wind up with a big bruise and a welt. And
but
all
even
kinds
if you just this
and
is
all
problem.
Kinds of things happen, and now you want me to pay for your tzar, ripoy, shavas, boshas, and the like. Should I be chayav for that? Mm-hmm. So the Rebbeinu Peretz, I know I didn't ask you to look at it, but the Rebbeinu Peretz writes, Al bigdo v'nisra chayav pirish dekeven de'in lo tzar b'zeh. Well, why didn't he have to take it off? Well, because there was no harm to himself, so he was able to make that cheshbon. I will take him to Beis Din. V'dafka al bigdo, shein lo tzar, b'zeh. Aval achas me eivorav. The Rebbeinu Peretz says, if it's on any one of his... any one of his limbs, any body part, then what? Potter. Afal gav de lo havi alibo. It's lav dafka libo. It doesn't have to be on his heart because there he's going to die. It could be on any part of his person. Kevin de islay tzaira havi saluke.
Assuming he could take it off.
Right. We're talking about a case where he's able to take it off and he doesn't.
You'll see.
Where he's able to take it off and he doesn't. Yidol ashka chiyuva rak al bigdo. Because the only case that the Gemara mentions as being a chayev is for the beged. When are you chayev as the mazik? When you put it on his shirt and you burnt his shirt. But when you put it on his person, you're going to be potter.
But by
why?
The mere fact of you placing it on his person, are you...
You know that's tzaddik. Oh, you mean, let's say there's initial...
Yeah,
I mean, right away, you sear him right away.
You put a hole on a guy
right,
before he gets to it.
So for the initial damage and tzar, it could be that you would be chayev, yes. But if whatever ensues because it was there longer than the initial moment, that you're not going to be fighting for. You're right. Okay?
This guy.
Go ahead. What's better?
I'm going to keep playing sports.
Oh, it's like your hammy. If you keep playing with the hammy.
Why do you do this? Yeah.
I don't feel pain.
I'm not paying you any back.
It's a sirenus.
Why, was it your fault? You injured him?
No, it's all his fault.
No, I have pain for you. So I'm a good boy.
Go ahead.
You're going to hit him in the hammy.
Tarvayu. I can't tell you which is more correct, but I can tell you there's two classic pronunciations. Tarvayu and Travayu. Right. It happens to be that you said something that was neither of those, but that's what I'm telling you. There are two legitimately acceptable pronunciations. Tarvayu and Travayu. I'm guessing one might be more correct than the other, but
which one?
I don't know.
What's the more accept? What's the one that we usually?
What should you say?
Most people say Tarvayu.
Oh, I say Travayu.
You say Travayu?
Wait, Tarvayu or Tarvayu?
Tarvayu, Tarvayu.
And roll the R.
I used to say like Bravo.
Rich.
No, that's wrong.
Roll the okay.
Both of these are taught elsewhere. Now the Gemara breaks them up. Alibo. Where is the Alibo case taught? A little louder, come on.
Sorry.
I'm saying read, just read. Well, we'll just read it. You know, I'm not
I thought you were asking, Morris.
I'm asking you to see your eyes.
Literally conquered, but I think it's like crush.
You push them down, you hold them down, that's right.
Where's that word located?
Where's that word located? I'm on to the big one.
I'm hungry.
Okay, keep going.
You
gotta
so you push another person into like a fire into the water.
You hold him down, right? He's in a fire, he's in the water, and you submerge him there, you keep him there.
And he can't get up.
You don't allow him to exit.
And if he can't get up and he dies, then you're chayv.
Then you're chayv. What's the difference between dachafo and kavash?
One is like you're keeping him down there, as opposed to pushing. Just
that's
like
right.
Little,
one is like that ping pong ball that's being held down to be submerged underwater. Can't, right? As long as your hand is on it. As soon as you take your hand away, pop up. And the other one is the ball that you just push into the, you push it in. If you push it in from on high, it's going to fall, it's going to float. That's dachafo. So now he says, okay, you know what, this guy pushed me and I'm not getting out. Let him be responsible. He decides not to get out. That's different. That's different. You're not going to be high for that. Right? So what's the principle? What's the rule of thumb?
Where you're able to do something to prevent...
Where the Nizak is able to mitigate the damages to his person, he's required to do that. Right? With a Nizak. The one who is the recipient of the injuries,
okay.
Recipient, not the mazik. Nizak is mechuyav to mitigate the damages to his person. That's the alibo case. That's the libo. That's his person. I'm getting some blank stares. Not sure why. Yes, question?
Yes, but you may not want to take it. If you push someone into the water, they should have been able to get out, but then they don't. They like. But not like because they chose not to. You push him in, maybe he bumps his head, and then he doesn't get out. Like your intent was to push him in the water.
Good question.
So he can get out.
I can't swim.
Does it
change? I did something wrong.
You got the word awesome.
No, somehow I started a new recording. But it's okay. Let's continue.
It's better.
You're reading. You're doing a great job. Carry on.
Big dough.
What's that? What are those words?
Kra.
I can't hear you. I'm not.
Big dough.
Big dough. The case of big dough. Where we find it.
Kra es kasusi.
Kra es kasusi. You give a directive. Kra es kasusi. What does kra mean?
Tear.
Kasusi. Haksus shali. My ksus. Yeah. Shaber es kadi, break my jug, break my pitcher.
Chayev.
That's what you say to the fellow. You tell him, listen, why don't you come over and break my pitcher? Why don't you come over here and rip my shirt? And the guy obliges. He's chayev. And we often will try to explain that, but he's chayev.
Right.
Why don't you come over here, tear my shirt on the condition that you'll be potter? Obviously, in that case, he's allowed to do that. Carries through, and he is in fact potter, as the deal dictated. Right. Okay. So let's step back to the basic question, which we're trying to discuss yesterday, and trying to distinguish between the case in which I put a coal on someone's chest, and we'll call him the victim, the Nizak, does not remove the kol when he can. So in that case, I am exempt from the death. I'm exempt from the death. Why? Because that person could have removed the, and should have removed the kol. He should have done it, and he didn't. When I did the same thing to his shirt, he has a shirt lying on his bed. I come along, I put a hot smoldering coal on his shirt for some reason. And he sees it, and he says, you know what? As Rashi tells us, I'll let the shirt burn, and I'll take him to Bezin, I'll get a new shirt. That's okay. He's not duty-bound to mitigate his loss in that case. So yesterday we were trying to explain what the difference is, but the first step of what we established was that there is an obligation to mitigate the damages when it comes to your own person, and apparently there is no such obligation to mitigate when it comes to property that's being damaged by another.
Well, we only know that because of the Gemara, right?
Okay. So the question is now why? How could we account for that distinction? We endeavored to give some approach to this yesterday. I'd like to see what some of the other guys have to say, and maybe we could take a little bit further today. Let's start with the damages to your person. Right? Why are you mechuyev to mitigate the damages, mitigate the losses?
According to you, it should be the same, no?
Yeah.
Well, I think I kind of accidentally explained it by talking about both of them.
No, don't. Oh, don't talk about them both. Just an abstract question.
Just the why I should have to fix.
Yeah. I know this guy's about to hit me and he's going to hurt me if I stand still. He's going to hurt me somehow. He's going to knock my teeth out. Something's going to happen. And instead of taking a step back, I stand there. Am I allowed to do that?
No, it's your girl. You can't do it.
Why not?
Because
you're putting your body at risk. I'm not talking about beggar. I'm just talking about the bodily injuries.
You're putting your body at risk.
And therefore what? And why aren't you allowed to do that?
You're not allowed to do that.
You're not allowed to do that. That's right. That's all we're talking about here, halachically. A person has a chiyuv to safeguard himself. So therefore, of course, it's not because of the dini momentous shebo. It's not because of the nezikin aspect over here. It's not because, well, you don't have a right to not prevent that guy from having to spend more money. Right? Let's take the Rabbeinu Peretz's take on the Gemara. When he causes you tsar, so you're gonna turn around and say, hey, you owe me X, Y, and Z dollars for tsar. So Rabbeinu Peretz says, well, if you could have avoided the tsar, then you can't turn around and tell him that he's chayiv.
It doesn't really answer the question.
Right? Because you had a chiyuv to mitigate the tsar. Why did you have a chiyuv to mitigate the tsar? Not because of the dine momentus, right? Because of the idea of safeguarding your own person. But because you had that obligation and you violated that obligation, you then can't turn around and tell this guy that he's the cause and fact of your tsar. Or in the worst case scenario, of the misa, of your death. You had an obligation to prevent that. You chose not to. Now what? Now Bezin's going to say, listen, you did something over here? Now you're right. If you tied me up and I couldn't do anything about it, then you're in fact the cause, in fact, of this tsar or this misa, and you're going to be the one that has to pay. But in reality, in this case, since I failed to fulfill my obligation, it was I who caused the tsar or caused my own demise. Right? Is that what you guys are saying? Finish Martin, yeah. About person, protecting yourself, go, protecting go. So now we can understand perhaps why the first case makes sense, right? Why am I potter when I burn this guy? Because he could easily remove the gachelis for whatever strange reason he chose not to. What about the second case? Al Bigdo. Why am I chayef? Why don't we demand the same thing of him? Why don't we demand that he take off the gachelis?
Is it possible that this gachelis can damage him?
No. That's what Avram was speculating about yesterday. We don't have any reason to assume that now. Don't read that into effect.
This isn't more of a shmartan.
No, I don't believe so. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, you know why he's not going to be chayev? You know why he's going to be exempt? I'm sorry. The mazik. You know why the mazik is going to be chayev? Because the nizak can make a taina. What's the nizak's taina? make a claim. What's the claim?
It was gonna. It was burnt. It was gonna be good.
Well, you want to read the Rashi, Daniel?
Sure.
Daniel?
Sure.
Which Rashi? I think it's Rashi Dibur Hamaspil Chayev.
Chayev. The Hod Delo Salka Seller, right?
The Hod Delo Salka. So before we we required it of him because he didn't take off the Gachelis. So now over here, you're telling me we required it of the Nizak. The Nizak. Oh, yeah. Now we're saying over here, the Nizak was in the right, even though he didn't remove the Gachelis. Why not? Because he has a Svara, or he has a Taina that he can make with regard to why he did not remove the Gachelis. What does that mean? I'll be Toveya from him. I'll make a claim against him.
Oh, he's
going to make a claim? Yeah. It's Be'inali Bedin. I'll make a claim from him in Din. V'yifrali, he'll pay me back. Right? So why is that claim, why is that svar, why is that taina better than him saying, well, so he'll kill me and I'll have to pay my family? I mean, obviously that wouldn't be the outcome.
You don't have a mitzvah to protect yourself.
Because by the goof, you have to protect yourself. Okay? What don't you have? You don't have it to protect your belongings. You don't have a chiyuv to safeguard your property from loss. Now, you can't take your property and wantonly and actively destroy it, because that's called what? That's called Baal Tashkas. But here, who's doing the hezek? Someone else doing the hezek. Basically telling the guy, listen, this is your decision. That's it. I'm not getting involved. I don't have any obligation here. I don't have any chiyuv to mitigate. I don't have any chiyuv to mitigate my loss, because I'm going to get my loss back. I don't have a chiyuv to mitigate your loss either. And that's the way some of the poskim understand the practical application of this Gemara. As we were discussing before in Seder with some of the guys, that one of the practical applications of this Gemara is the following Shaila. Interesting Shaila. Shaila was contemporary Shaila. Rosh Spitz deals with this in his Mishpatei Torah and Siman Mem. Says that a homeowner invites a guest to his house for an extended stay, or maybe the person invited himself. He's staying in this fellow's house, comes lunchtime, and he takes out a piece of meat from the refrigerator, and he's going to cook it for the family. And he doesn't put in enough water into the pot with the meat. We know that the meat is not 200 pounds, we know the meat is a couple of kilograms, which is, 2.2 kilos to the pound, 2.2 pounds to the kilo.
So it's like 103.
Let's say it was a sizable piece of meat, not tremendous, but something seasonal or otherwise, and he doesn't put in enough water. And he steps away from the pot, thinking that there's enough water in there, and then it's going to take X amount of minutes to cook, and he's going to come back at that time and retrieve the cooked meat. But in reality, there was not enough water in there. The Baal Bayis, let's say, is standing there and knows about it. Standing by, and he knows that this guest did not put in enough water. And if he doesn't do something about it, that meat, in an hour's time, when this guy comes back, is going to be incinerated. It's not going to be edible.
He's not required to do anything.
So that was the question. So Lemaisa, he didn't do anything in this case. Lemaisa Shahaya
Kachaya. Why did he say anything?
Why didn't he say anything?
Because he doesn't like the guest.
He wants the guest to pay for the meat, and he wants the guest to get the hint that it's the time for him to leave. That's the Mitzvah.
Where's this case?
Mishpatei Torah Siman Mem.
What's Mishpatei
Torah? It's a contemporary collection
of
tshuvos that correspond to the different sugyas in both towns.
So I'm crashing on my couch, and I'm just going to take out my entire kitchen, making a 20-pound turkey.
That's the thing.
I'm going to let it burn.
That's the thing.
Get out.
Okay? We're not here to judge anybody. I'm telling you the facts. The facts are, this homeowner had enough of this gas. He figures, here's my perfect opportunity. The guy's probably going to be upset and embarrassed after I'll make him pay, and also he'll get the sense, maybe it's time for him to move on. Okay? That's not our place to get involved with that. That's what happened. Now the question is, Basher Husham, is the homeowner Chayev? I'm sorry, is the guest Chayev or not?
Seems that he is. That's Mono.
It's the case of what?
Amona.
The big dough, you mean?
Yeah, I'm saying worst case of...
The big dough.
Right, but by big dough, it's because it's big, your baguette is your mamon, as opposed to your goof.
Right, there's no goof here. There's not,
right,
there's no goof.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we said already by goofo, I mean by baguette,
right.
He's kind of. He doesn't have an allegation to... I mean,
what's the case by Rashi, though? What's the Gemara's case? Read the Lashon of the Gemara. And we didn't make this diak yesterday, but maybe it's an important diak to make. No. The case. V'amar Rabba.
Heniach lo
gacheles. What does that mean?
He puts. Heniach. He places.
What does that imply? What does that imply?
You put it there.
With what type of mindset?
Malice.
Well, I don't know about malice. Definitely, it was intentional. It was intentional. Yeah. Right? Sounds like you did it on purpose.
No plan coming back for it.
You don't plan on coming back. You know what's going to happen. If you put a gachelas on the guy's chest, it's going to burn him.
Right.
You put it on his clothes, it's going to burn. It was intentional. So I didn't see that Rosh Pitz makes that particular diuk, but I think it's sort of implied, because in his response to the Shiloh, he says like this, it depends. If the homeowner was there and knew about it and knew that it was accidental, which appears to be the metzius over here, the guy thought there was enough water, the chef... Right? The aspiring chef, but not yet a chef. Okay? This fellow assumed that he set up the pot in such a way that the food would cook properly. The homeowner standing by and sees that that, in fact, is not the case. But it was an accident. So Spitz says, if that's in that setting, if the homeowner was there and could have mitigated the loss, the homeowner assumes the loss.
No,
he should have stopped it. He had a business to stop it.
Because he knew?
Because he knew, and it was totally accidental.
In our case,
other more than all, it doesn't make a difference.
Okay, good. We'll have to see how that fact works out there. I mean, maybe it's honest.
But what about, like...
Honest. We'll have to see. Good question.
Let's say the homeowner didn't know, who would be guilty?
If he didn't know, the other guy's for sure chayav. There's no question about that.
So why would he have to just be honest then?
What?
Who's forced?
Like, how can you say how sure he... Like, you've got a piece of meat cooking. It's like...
No, let's say, you know.
But, like, couldn't he... He's, what if he tries to be... Okay,
facts.
I think it's going to burn.
These are the facts. These are the facts.
It's going to burn, so I'm going to try and save
these
it,
are the
and
facts.
Then you ruin it.
These are the facts. Let's just deal with the facts. I'm saying, before we make it further complicated, let's just deal with the facts. So, in his analysis of this Shiloh, he, of course, brings our Gemara. But the way he presents it is very interesting. It says like this. You don't have, in a case, but let's say, he says actually, let's say the guy was doing it on purpose. Let's say the guest, for whatever reason, is upset at the homeowner. The guy's giving a hard time, he gave him bad pillows, and he's not so comfortable there. So now he wants to burn the guy's meat. Well, you'd sort of, such a thing would be possible. You'd say such a thing. That, seriously?
It's Jewish law.
All right, let's say that was the case. He says, if that's the case, then the Baal Bayis can stand by, know about it, watch it, and say, you know what, too bad, that guy's going to owe me a new piece of meat. If it was intentional. Accidental, then he has a chiv to mitigate. Not accidental, i.e. intentional, then he can watch it burn, watch it get ruined. I mean, it might even burn the pot, in which case the guy's going to have to pay more money. But he's not required to intervene. So he quotes our Gemara, and he says like this, Rabba Chidesh, She'ein chiyav al ha-nizak, he says it's Rabba's chiddush, that the nizak, that is the damaged party, the grieved party, has no chiyav limnoa es ha-nezek kasha odom mazik lo bekavana. That's Rabba's chiddush. Rabba's chiddush is that if this guy is intentionally damaging my property, I don't have to stop him. El ha-mazik hifsid latzmo. We view it instead as the mazik making a calculated decision. What's the mazik's calculated decision? Basically, it's like he's throwing away his own money. Because what's going to happen? He's going to have to pay for this. So if the mazik is willing to do something which is going to cause himself a loss, it's not my obligation to stop him. And he compares it to the case of... Well, we discussed previously in a different sugya, ma'avid, mamono, midas, or aveda midas, where a person is knowingly and willingly causing a loss to himself... I'm not mechuyev to step in and stop him. I can't necessarily take his property, as we've seen. I remember the Rambam said that. but you're not niskak lo for what purpose? Hashavas aveda. There's no chiyuv hashavas aveda for a person who's taking his own. You see a guy walking in the street, assuming he's of his sound mind, and just throwing money as he walks. You're not mechuyav to start picking it all up and say, hey, mister, you're not throwing your money. He's doing that with das. That's his intent. Same thing with the cow. He puts his cow without locking it up. You know the cow's going to be gone. You're not mechuyav to go in to return that. Okay, according to some, it's not yet hefker and you can't take it. Others want to say it is hefker and you can take it. That's a separate issue. But the basic point is that there's no, everyone agrees, less man the polig, that there's no chiyav of hashavas aveda. So Rav Spitz says that's what's going on here. And I want to quote two things from the Choshen, from the Shulchan Aruch. Interesting. Just give me 1 second just to complete the thought, and then I'll try to take some comments. In Simen Tof Yud Ches, this is Choshen Mishpat, Tof Yud Ches. There's a whole world of Choshen Mishpat out there, fellas. A lot of halachos in Choshen Mishpat. Tof Yud Ches, Yud Ches. What did you say? It's Brave New World? You put a gachelas on your colleague's person, v'nisraf, and then, not surprisingly, that he's gone.
Yeah.
That person. Oh, I thought maybe he called back. That person got burnt. Potter. Afilu hisubo shulohaya savor shloisalkena. Even if they gave him hasra, he said, "Hey, don't do that. If you do that, you're going to burn the guy." So even if he had a straw, he's thinking to himself, what kind of idiot's going to leave it there, right? He thinks in his head, this guy is going, of course, he's going to kick it off. I'll scare him a little bit or whatever it is. Shleihah socially salkena. She ain't derech. She aniach adam atzma lisrof. No one's going to allow themselves to be burnt. Normal people, right? You mentioned before some people might do that, but normal people will not do that. Kedisha yaharog chavero. Why would I do it? Oh, I'll die. So that guy will be chayiv misa. Who's going to do that? No normal person is going to do that. No normal person is going to do that. I'm sure we all, maybe we could think of someone that's going to do it. I see all the wheels turning over there. But normal people are not going to do that. And that's what this guy's thinking. He's not going to let himself die just so I'll be chayiv misa bezdin, so therefore he does it. Aval, im hiniach gachelas al bigdo shel chavero. But if he puts it on the beged, the garment, the property of his chaver, v'nisraf, and then it burns up, as one would expect to happen, then what's the din? Chayev she'ein choshesh l'salko kevin shezeh chayev l'shayim lo. Since that guy is chayev to pay him, so he doesn't feel that he has any reason to take it off. That's this halacha brought down l'maisa. What about this general rule of you not being required to mitigate the loss of someone who's doing something that's going to be mechayev him a penalty or a payment? So that appears here as well. That's in Simon Reish to two places. In Reish Samach Aleph, Reish Samach, which are the laws of Hashava Saveda. Again, for those that want to take a look at it on their own or maybe make a note of it, it's Reish Samach Si'if Yir Aleph. Reish Samach Si'if Yir Aleph. Those that don't care. Reish Samach Aleph. The Mechaber says, Motza ba'ashba kli mechusa harei zelo yigabo. Comes along the Ramah, ba'medva amurim ba'ashba she'inu osloi lefanos. This is talking about a type of dump which is not readily cleared up. So, yeah, Choshen Mishpat, Reish Samach Si'if Yir Aleph. But if it's a type of garbage that's normally cleared up every day, then we assume that the person who threw something there has no expectation of getting it back. That is called, says the Rama, Aveda Midasi, Barehu Shel Motza'a. That basically belongs to the one that found it. There is no obligation to return an Aveda Midas. That same halacha also appears in Simon Reish Samach, in the Machaber, in Si'if Dalet. Ma'abed mamono ladas, ein is kakin lo. That's basically the lashon of the Rambam that we've seen previously. Okay? So with this analysis, with this understanding of these two halachos, Rav Spitz says, in the case where the person burnt the food, Kemokain, I'm sorry. Bafikach, hu hadin benidon, hamavuar besif beiz, b'tshuva, im haoreyach hiniach b'kalvana es asir im abasar al eish hagadola, kadei shasir im techulaso yisrafu. The pot with its contents will burn. That was your intent. You said, you know what, this guy is being obnoxious. He put me in a bad room. He gave me bad blankets and bad pillow. He's not making it comfortable for me here. I'm going to show him. I'm going to burn his meat and his pot too. So he said, if you did that, and the Baal Bais is there to stop it, he doesn't have to stop it. He'll say, okay, you want to play that game? I'm not mechuyev to. It's like you're watching him take his own property. See, that's the twist over here. Because you're going to go to Bezdin, and you're going to get your property back. Aye, what about the fact that you're being mechayev him now to pay out money to do that, and you could have stopped it? No, you don't have to do it. Because that's just like the guy's taking his money and throwing it out. It's like he's taking his money and burning it. Instead of burning your meat in your pot, he's burning his money. What's the shot? He's burning his money because he's going to have to reimburse you. You're not mechayev to stop him. But he says that if it's the case where it was done by accident, then he wants to suggest that he paskins that the Baal HaBayis would be chayev to intervene. And where does he get that from? Because that case we don't really see here. So he says, Hine yesh lodon b'mikro sham mazik hiniach b'shgaga, where it was done by accident, eish, a fire, sheyachol lahazik ka'avur zman l'mamon chaveru. Ube'eis techilas hanezek yachol hayabal ha'mamon lahatzil as mamono mehafsid v'lo osakin, kigon ima odam hisarech yitzel chaveru, hiniach neiros dilukim b'samach l'chalon. Here's a different case. He says, let's say a guest puts candles near the window and he goes out and a wind is coming, Ruch Matsuya knocks over the candle on the floor and starts to burn the furnishings, and the guy comes in and he could have put it out, but he didn't do that. He said, oh, I see, this guy wants to play with fire, he's going to get burned, right? And he lets all of his property burn up. He let it happen. Oh, k'mo b'nidon she'elach nidon. Let's say we're in our case. It was an accident with regard to the pot. The guy could have stopped it, but he didn't. What's the din in that case? So he says, b'mikrim elu, in these types of cases, afal pisha odam mu'ad la'olam, even though we say odam mu'ad la'olam, listen, you set the fire, it's your responsibility, odam mu'ad la'olam. You put the meat in the pot, odam mu'ad la'olam. V'im ha'nizak lo yachol haya la'atzar ba'ara esh, if the nizak could not have done anything to mitigate against the loss, that's it. Then you're right. He'd be chayiv. Pshita, he'd be chayiv. Pshita shemeniach ha'esh, or in this case, the meat in the pot would be chayiv. However, yesh lodon b'mikrim shehamazik lo hiskavim ozik. But where it was accidental and it could have been mitigated, what about those cases? So he says that the Aruch HaShulchan writes b'pashtus, and where does he say this from? Misvar. Shulchan says that it's pashat. Shem adam hezik l'reihu b'shkaga v'hanizak haya yochel la'atzas mamona v'lo hitzil potter hamazik milashalem v'nizak es nizko ulam hu lo hevi rayel dvarav. It's a svara. And I would say the svara makes sense based on the following.
Pashat svara, isn't it?
What? It's pashat. But why is it pashat? It's not pashat so much from here. Again, you know, we have a diuk. Hey niach, sounds like, you know, it sounds intentional. I mean, that's what I'm suggesting is just a diuk from the Gemara. But I would say another idea that we used earlier on in the sugya. If I go to sleep, and we know that people damage in their sleep, it's not exactly analogous, but I'm just thinking out loud for a second. If I go to sleep and people know that a sleeping person has propensity to damage, and then a guy comes along and he sleeps down next to me, he basically did what? He assumed the risk. He assumed the risk that when I cause that damage later, when I move, it's like he took my hand and he hit himself. Right? We saw that lashon. It's like he himself caused his own injuries. Right? Now I walk into my apartment and I see that it's not exactly the same because here the thing was already in motion before, but I see that there's a candle which just fell on the floor. If I stop right now, nothing will happen. Right? Shalom Yisrael. If I walk away,
my couch is going to burn up. At that moment, who caused the burning of the couch? Where was accidental?
Say it one more time.
Oh, the candle. Someone dropped the candle.
Walked away.
I lit the candle over here. I did. I lit the candle over here, and then I left. And then the Baal Bais comes in. He's sitting. He's reading the paper on the other side of the room, and he sees that the candle fell.
Baal Bais.
Baal Bais.
It's his fault.
He's at fault. The other guy knows to suspect that the candle's going to fall.
Nah.
Okay, but I'm saying it is a big of a chiddush because we do have the rule that you cited, Adam Mu'ad Olam.
No, but not according to the Aruch HaShulchan.
So Aruch HaShulchan is saying it's Pasha in that case. The Baal Bais will just sit and watch, and he could have stopped it when it was done by accident. He assumes the risk. It's
but
his,
anytime he didn't see...
Same thing with the Chalon. Same thing with the Chalon. But there's a Svara. There's no place in the Talmud that you can point to and say, here's a Raya. I mean, the only Raya that I have is the Diyuk that we made from the Gemara, that there's a difference between Heiniach and something else that would be accidental.
Is the difference between, like, seeing the person do it and, like, assuming? Like, in this case, the Baal Bai came in and he sees that there's a fire.
Right, but
assumes the guy did it on purpose.
No. Forget about that. Let's say he knows what happened. He knows it was accident. Right. So the Chacham is saying, if it was an accident and you let it burn now, you're the idiot, if you will. The Chacham, same siman. Tof Yud Ches. It's in Sif Lamed Hey. Sif Lamed Hey. It's a chiddush, but that's what he paskins, and it's very safe thing, because right up until now there was no damage.
It's very wide.
It's logical.
Word, by the way. You read that out with any word?
What?
Okay, let's not get caught up in the details over here. But you hear what he's saying? When you walk in right now and the candle hasn't caused any damage, or the pot hasn't been burned, the food hasn't been burnt up. So now it's like it's a new frame, right? It's a new moment in time. When you're there and now you walk away, who's responsible? You're responsible.
It's also you took
necessary. It's like the Aveda. You happen upon an Aveda. You didn't drop it. Someone else dropped it. Right? Now you happen upon the Aveda right now. What's your Acharas? Your Acharas, pick up the Aveda and be responsible for it. Well, Sucha L'Salim. You happen upon it. The same thing. This guy's happening upon the fire. He could stop right now. He doesn't stop it. Whose fault is it? Is it the guy who lit it an hour ago before it fell? And it fell?
If he lit it, though, under the Baal Bais's, like, you know, like, you go to sleep after the... He lit it right in a place where he was hoping that the Baal Bais would knock it over.
No, that's already intentional. If it's intentional, then the Baal Bais is allowed to... The Baal Bais is allowed to watch it.
Or it's 50-50.
I don't know. I can only tell you the two extreme cases. Intentional or not intentional. I don't know what the other case is. I mean, there's only two possibilities. What's the other case? It's not intentional, but you're really hoping in the back of your mind that it is intentional? That sounds like it's intentional.
Sounds like they're a Pasha Tseko.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's a more difficult case. Yeah.
Maybe you bring Orion for saying why.
Oh, yeah, right for the Rosh Hashanah?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd love to hear right for the Rosh Hashanah.
To say that if your brother's beast of burden is swinging under its load and it falls, then you are to help him.
Azov Tazo.
Yeah.
Chadal Tamazolo.
Basically,
so here, but here, whose burden? You're saying it's really his burden?
The guy's going to have to pay all that money.
Because he's going to have to pay.
Oh, okay, sure.
Is that what you're saying? Is that?
Okay, I guess, yeah.
Well, what do you mean you guess? Is that what you meant?
No, I mean, basically the idea that you're to help somebody out in the case of this mama being destroyed. So although it's not the burden.
Where it's not intentional.
Where it's not intentional.
I mean, it's not Aveda Midas.
Yeah, but if you see that the guy himself isn't trying to lift up the beast, then you don't have
Right, I hear what you're saying. Interesting. That's very interesting. Yeah, Yonah's raising a good point, saying we have a sort of model for this from the Torah and the Torah itself. You see a guy has an animal that's burdened, and the package needs riding, right? The load needs riding, so you have to help him. Let's say it's Azov Tazov Imo. But let's say the guy is sitting by idly himself and not doing anything, right? Then you're not Mechuyev. So he wants to say maybe that's the same thing over here. Here, it's accidental, and you're in a position to help him stop it. If you don't, so you did something wrong. If you did something wrong here, in this case, it's like the fire is your fault. You burn your own couch. It'd be interesting, and I'd have to assume we could figure out what the halacha would be. But let's say not only the fire spread to your property, but let's say now it subsequently spread to someone else's property and burned those things. What would you say then? L'chor, according to Aruch HaShulchan, I would assume, if you follow the natural conclusion, L'chor, you'd be chayav for that as well. Right?
You was in the Nezek?
No, the would-be Nizak, yeah. In this case, you are. I mean, you are the Nizak, but you're your own worst enemy in this case. You're your own Mazik. Yeah.
It's like a case of the Goheles in the public thoroughfare, and a person who does nothing is high for the damages. A person who can stop the Goheles.
The Goheles?
I think so.
Yeah, Goheles.
Yeah.